marriage thing this Saturday. If you have not texted me to sign up, please do so. We are going to have a good time. I'm excited about that. It's going to be really good. Trunk or treat. I know I'm kind of doubling down on the announcements here, but I'm giving everybody a chance. Last week I said turn to John 11, and then I said, all right, John 1, and everybody got really confused. So I'm trying to be careful. John 12:20 is where we're going to start. All right. Hey, if you want to do trunk or treat, we're going to set up. And if you want to just have a game in your in the back of your vehicle or beside your vehicle, it doesn't actually have to be in your trunk. But if you want to set up and have a game, have some candy, we're just going to have fun. And I'm super excited for it. John chapter 12, verse 20 says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And so these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me," and pay attention to this part, because this is what we're going to remain on for the rest of this morning. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." God, be with us this morning as we progress through this service. God, I pray that you speak a word into someone's heart this morning, that we could strive to be servants to you, that we could follow you, and God, that you would be glorified through those things. So we want to develop a servant mentality. We want to talk this morning about four ways to be a better servant of God. And the reason we're talking about this, we're talking about pastor appreciation. We're talking about these folks that we brought up here, that we prayed for. We want to bless these folks, and we want to understand what servitude is all about, what servanthood is all about. And I want to be a better servant of Jesus. I think that's something that we can all as Christians strive for, is to always be a little better. Sometimes it's those little gains. We want to be a little better. And if we can do that progressively, if we can constantly be a little better here, a little better there, then guess what? We grow. So the first thing we want to do, if we want to grow and become a better servant of God, the first thing we want to do is develop a servant mentality. This is the first step in becoming a successful servant. You must have a mentality that says, my purpose on this earth is to serve God. And if we get away from that mentality, if we get away from that my purpose, we start to really wonder. And how many of you can remember a point in your life when you just really didn't know what to do? You didn't know what exit you needed to be taking, what proverbial exit in your life that you needed to be taking at that moment, and you ended up getting lost. It's happened to the best of us. It's happened to the rest of us. If we lose our purpose, then the plan can become really murky. If we get off what we know to be true, then falsity will definitely creep in, okay? So we want to have a servant mentality. And the way that we do that is we got to realize that pride has got to go. Our ego has to get checked at the door. As soon as we want to step through the gate and become a true follower of Jesus, we've got to drop ego off at his mama's house, okay? You can't come on this. You must be this tall to ride, and ego, you this short, okay? You can't come on this ride, ego, because ego will mess you up if you're trying to follow Christ, okay? Because Christ has to increase. I must decrease so he can increase. Come on. And so we got to check ego. We have to realize God is in charge. We have to escape from me-centered thinking. God, I don't really want to do that. I don't really know about that. I remember when I was in youth ministry, and pray for Pastor Jason. I was in youth ministry. We had a young man that visited us, and this young man was he needed a bath. and so I was like, man, I don't know. What do I do? And you guys, I can't handle that stuff, okay? I really get really nervous, all right? And I was like, what do I do? And this kid was going through some stuff. And God's like, you know, the Holy Spirit's talking to me, saying, hey, you need to really reach out to this young man. And I'm like, you what? Like from far away, right? You know, we can do arranged prayer attack. And this is before COVID, so not everybody's walking around with masks on and cans of Lysol. And so this kid was upset. We were having youth group one night. I was preaching, and this kid's crying, and he's upset, and he's going through some stuff, and this kid needs a hug. And God's like, this kid needs a hug. And I'm like, you said what? Like, Where's the audible voice? Like, okay? And so I can't get it. I can't shake it. And have you ever in your walk with Christ had one of those moments where you just can't shake something? And maybe you don't want to do that thing, but God wants to increase in your life. So it's time for you to decrease. And maybe God getting you out of your comfort zone is the way that he's going to grow you. You know what? We did something at Elevate last week. And I said, Pastor Daphne, can we do this? And she said, you're the pastor. But we roped off some rows, man. It was crazy. And we had everybody move up really close. But you know what? We got out of our comfort zone. We sang a new song. And we said, God, we need a move of your spirit in this place. And it was so good. And the Holy Spirit moved in this place. And I was just so impressed. And so I want to do that. I want to get used to being uncomfortable. Come on. Can we do that at Community Church North Webster? Can we get used to being uncomfortable? Listen, as we follow Jesus, it's not always going to be easy. And when I swallowed my pride and my lunch, and I embraced this young man, and listen, I'm not trying to dog on this kid. It's just that's what happened in that situation. And I'm trying to relate that to you, okay? This young man was struggling. He didn't have parents that said, hey, dude, you rank, okay? He was going through a situation, and I embraced that kid. And he wept, and that was his connection to Jesus at that moment, okay? So we got to make sure that we drop me-centered thinking and pick up God-centered thinking, okay? Ego's got to get out of here. Because if you want to be an effective servant of Jesus, if you want to walk effectively behind Christ, you know, last week we talked about the tomb pursuing you. If you want to escape that death that constantly follows you and wants to invalidate your calling, you got to drop the weight of ego because it does not compute. Matthew 10:24 actually says a disciple is not above his teacher nor a servant above his master. And so I think sometimes that we get ahead of Jesus. We get ahead of our his word for us. We get ahead of our calling. Yeah, God, I don't want to do that. Listen, we got to make sure that we keep our eyes on him and follow. Check ego at the door. It doesn't get to come on this ride. So the second thing we want to do is have a determination to serve. I am determined to follow my purpose, to grow the kingdom of God, no matter what stands in my way, no matter what somebody says, no matter what situation arises, I am going to fight for my calling. I'm going to fight for my purpose. It doesn't matter if I get discouraged. It doesn't matter if I have to face something. I've already checked my ego because that was step one. And now I'm standing on determination. We don't just need to have a servant's mentality. We must have determination. 2 Corinthians 8:14 says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us." So these people are saying, hey, we are giving and we want to give more. We are determined to bless. And that's something that this church gets. And I'm so proud that our culture at Community Church North Webster is a giving and a blessing culture. We want to give. People are taking off from work and coming up here and giving. People are taking off work, coming up here working, getting sweaty. And I get out here, man, we have like work day. And I'm out here not knowing the first thing about anything. And so I'm just having to like run around and like grab donuts for people, you know, but I want to help. And we are a giving church. By the way, we're going to do another distribution October 30th. So if you know somebody that will be blessed by that, come on, let them know. We want to be a blessing. What God has blessed us, we want to bless them. Amen. And we are determined to do that. We want to be a determined giver of ourselves, of our time. We want to bless people. In Mark 12:41, we can read a story about a lady. Jesus was sitting at the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. And many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." We want to be sacrificial in our determination as we give of ourselves. You know what? Maybe I don't feel like praying with this person. Maybe I don't feel like plugging into church this morning. But you know what? We want to give. If we want to be a determined service, we want a determined servant, we want to give of ourselves. Okay? And the third thing that we want to do as we become a better servant, as we want to commit to following God. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Oh no, let me preach. Listen, we don't want to just go to church. We want to be the church. Somebody, come on. Let me say it again. We don't want to just go. We don't want to just sit here and hear preaching that is sometimes better than other times. And sit under preaching, sit under teaching. Y'all, I have a Grow You class and we have so much fun. We never finish our lessons. Every Sunday morning I go in there and I say, man, we're going to have fun today. Today we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And I wrote down a bunch of stuff, powers and principalities. I wrote up something about gap theory and pre-Adamites. That's deep. You're going to have to ask Pastor Daphne about that one. Okay? Listen, and I wrote all this stuff on there and I thought, oh man, this is some big brain stuff right here. Miss Nelda's going to be jealous. And she's not. But we never get through it because we get in there and we start having fun and we get to talking about life. And, hey, that's what my Grow You class is all about. We want to visit. We want to learn more about each other. And we want to grow in the Word, but we want to grow together as well. But, listen, if that's all we do, if we make church a social event, then we are missing the big picture. Come on. We are missing out on such a big thing. If we want to be a servant, we can't just be a sitter. We got to plug in. We got to commit to following God. James 1:22, the Message version says this, says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Listen, when we say, I'm going to just preach for a minute if that's okay. Listen, when we say, hey, do you know somebody that's got something going on in their life and we need to pray for them? Don't just listen to that. Let's act on that. You know, we talked about this briefly in Grow You this morning during the few minutes that we actually were on task and we were actually on our lesson. We talked about how, unfortunately, it seems that the church, especially in America, has gotten away from really realizing that we live in a spiritual world. And there's two sides to everything you see. There is a physical side that we can see, we can touch, we can feel, we can witness. But there's also a spiritual side to everything. And the things that we face that are messed up and we think, why are people so evil? Because there is a supernatural world there. And there are unclean things at work. The Bible says powers and principalities. And so we want to make sure we stand up against those things. As hey, if we're redeemed followers of Jesus, we don't have anything to fear. Okay? And so we want to stand up. We don't want to just sit here and go to church. We can, but we don't want to get into that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that's what they do. They go to church. They have a really great experience. And listen, I believe in having a good experience at church. Okay? You could go to church and have a really bad experience. I remember I went to a church one time. The first thing I saw when I opened the door, I walked in, I took a left, a toilet was aggressively overflowing. And I thought, I don't know what to do with this. So we want to have a good experience at church. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we've got people that want to welcome you when you come in the door. That's great. That's great. But hospitality doesn't get you into heaven. Okay? And so we don't want to just sit in these nice chairs in the nice AC or heating, depending on what season or time of day it is in Louisiana. We want to let these things, this word, get into our heart. And not just let the word get into our heart, but let it get into our feet. Come on, somebody, as we take it out. I love the sign. You'll see it in a lot of older churches, but there'll be a sign up on top of the door, and it'll say, enter to worship, and it'll say what? Depart to serve. And, that's kind of an old school thing, but I thought, man, you know, I like that message. You know what? We come in here to be together, to get hyped up, to learn, but when we leave those doors, come on, there's a lost world out there, and we know who can fix it. Amen? So the fourth thing we want to do is we want to turn our page. We want to serve. The fourth thing, if we want to be a better servant, is we want to start serving where we are. We want to start serving where we are. A lot of people, they wait around for the right time, in their opinion. And they decide, and now we're back on ego again, my opinion. They wait around for the right time. Well, yeah, I don't really want to step up and say anything in church because, you know, I haven't gone through the courses and, you know, man, quit waiting around. You're going to be really embarrassed when the rapture happens and you're like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Just wait 1 minute, Jesus. I want to serve. Man, don't do that. Listen, if you want to be a servant, you want to serve God, do it now. And do it where you are. Come on. The right time to serve is now. The right place to serve is where you are. And the minute you start meeting the needs around you, you become a servant. And we get angsty. I remember when I was in master's commission. It's like an internship program. And I remember how angsty we all were, which we were all teenagers. And we were so angsty, and we were just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if we can go to the park and minister because, like, it's kind of hot. Man, that's ridiculous. Exactly. Get over it. Come on. We got to get over ourselves. Don't sit around and wait. Come on. If you saw somebody drowning, what are you going to do? Then you're going to do something about it. And if you can't jump in and rescue them, you're going to let somebody who can know real quick. Church, we got to get that passion in our hearts that there is a lost and dying world out there that is fallen and messed up. And we know the healer. We know the redeemer. We know the answer, and that's Jesus. Don't wait around. That's why we encourage you. We say, hey, if somebody says, brother or sister, pray for me, do it right then. Let your faith freak them out. You know, they'll be at the grocery store trying to pick up rice, and you're like, come on, let's pray right now. And they're like, well, I'm trying to get my rice. Put your rice down. We're going to pray. Okay? Do it right then and there. Let that faith just catch them off guard, man. Because listen, we don't serve tradition. We serve Jesus. Okay? And so if we want to be a traditional, just, you know, I go to church and whatever, then, you know, we just say, oh, I'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers. And then we never act on it. Don't do that. Serve where you are. Serve when you are. Come on. There is an abundance of need all around you, in your community, in your work, in your family. And sometimes service does not mean that you're handing someone a box of goods. It doesn't mean that you're doing something like that, that you're handing them a $100 bill. Sometimes service is being there for somebody. Listen, sometimes that is how you can serve somebody, is you can show them that you can be faithful to them because Christ is faithful to you. And when they're going through something, instead of freaking out and panicking, you show them the peace that you have because you know the Prince of Peace. Sometimes that's how you serve somebody. God, make me a better servant. Let me do these things. Let me do these things. There's a story in Matthew 25, and it talks about sheep and goats. And these are people that wanted to serve. And the sheep were good servants, and the goats were not. And I think that we have to make a choice as the church, especially as the modern church, because we've had so much watering down of our, I don't want to say the word, but we've had so much watering down of things, and I even hate to say watered down gospel, but that's what we've got. And we've had so many different, you know, people say, what denomination are you? I say, we're not a denomination. We believe what's in this book. We teach what's in this book. And we live what's in this book. But a lot of people get things in here wrong, and we can't check our ego, and it causes these rifts, and you have a Baptist movement, you have a holiness movement, you have a United Pentecostal movement, you have a regular Pentecostal movement, you have a Church of God in Christ, and we all come from the same idea, but we let it get watered down. Listen, I want to challenge you to not worry about those things, to worry about what's in here, and worry about what's in here. I want to be a servant that follows Christ. Not a man, not a man's idea, but a servant that follows him, that is determined, that is sacrificial in the way that I give of myself, that's steadfast. That's how I want to serve. And I want to challenge you. Listen, growing up, I had a misunderstanding of serving Christ, and I thought that meant that you had to be a preacher. I thought that meant you had to be the guy or the gal that stands up at the pulpit and preaches a sermon and goes and does hospital visits and does that kind of stuff. But there was a man in this church, and he made me realize And there were a lot of people in this church that did this back then and still do. But there was one guy, and he made me realize everybody gets to serve. And his name was Fred Thaxton. Formerly, if you were going to be formal, his name was Brother T. And so Brother T, he was so faithful to people. He would go and visit even later in his life. That man didn't stop. And I remember I'd see him, and I'd see them red suspenders, y'all. And I would know immediately, there he is. And that guy, he loved people. And listen, there were other good folks in this church that loved people, and y'all still do. I'm not diminishing anybody or anything like that, but I wanted to use him as an example, because he would visit and he would call and he would seek after people when they were in the hospital, when they were shut in. And it made me realize, as a young Christian, we all get to serve. We're all called to serve. We're all called to that. And it challenged me. And I want us to all pursue being a better servant. That doesn't mean you're a bad servant, but hey, there's always room for improvement. Come on. So let's stand together. I want to pray with you guys this morning before we leave this place. And I want to say something before I pray to close.